as I get closer to where he went off the road, I see a big black shape in the middle of the road walking. So I have to slam on my brakes and try to swerve myself because this thing is walking in the center of the road. Because I don't see a head and I don't see arms. I just see a really big, tall person, like big, thick legs and a big, thick torso. And they're moving very funny.
But to be honest, I wish I had have seen some of her vulnerability. I wish I'd have seen her in that space so that I would have language.
And he says, no. That's not why you're angry. That's why you're mad. Mad is on the surface. Mad is a surface emotion. You're angry. And anger is deep. That cuts to your soul. You are an angry young man. And I couldn't answer. I then had come to realize over the next course of a few hours, I'm musing to myself, and I realize I've been a victim my whole life. That's why I'm so angry. And over the course of the next 19 months, this man changed my life. He helped me to realize about processing emotion and how to forgive myself and forgive others. And that's where the metamorphosis really began for me. And I learned how to, I'm a survivor, right? I know how to survive.
I was understood for the first time in my entire life. And when I read those things and I learned, quote unquote, those things about myself that I had known forever, but never really had the semantics for, I couldn't unlearn them. Like I heard this quote years ago and it resonated with me so much. And it's like, you can choose to look the other way, but you can never again say you didn't know.
All right. Welcome, Adva.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So tell us how you got started in education. I know that's kind of a broad question, but maybe a little bit about your teaching experience first, and then how that kind of transformed into this consulting business that you have.
Yeah. So I've known I wanted to be a teacher since I was 14. I always loved kids. I would get a lot of great feedback from the families that I was babysitting or the camp families that I was working with. So I knew I wanted to be in the classroom. And I spent 9 years in and out of the classroom. So my first year of teaching, I always talk about how it was not my best year. And I don't think it's most teachers' best year because first year is always hard. I was hired as a second language teacher, as a co-teacher, and I was supposed to be doing the lesson plans for second language, for the second language in the classroom. I didn't know how to lesson plan. I didn't have a degree in education. I had a degree in psychology. And I also didn't know what kind of support I really needed in the classroom. So that first year came and went, and I barely taught a lesson in the class. It was only at the end of the school year when I was kind of brought into my boss's office and was told, like, listen, you're not meeting expectations. We need to change it. That something, I guess, struck a chord. And I, at the end of that school year, I promised myself that would never happen again. And so I went back to school, which some people do, some people don't. It really depends on the person. I'm not saying go back to school if you're struggling in the classroom, especially if you have a master's or a bachelor's in education. But I went back for early childhood education as a bachelor's, and then I got a master's after that in special ed and educational leadership. And what I found fascinating was that I, through my learning in school, I was able to apply a lot of things in the classroom. And that kind of helped get my teaching career off to the start that I really wanted it to get off to, not the way I started it my first year of teaching. But for about 5 years into my teaching career, there's a new teacher across the hall from me, and she had never worked with that age before. She had never, she'd worked in the classroom before. She'd been an assistant. She'd never been a head teacher. And she was very, very frazzled when we came into the school year. And I saw her kind of flail. I tried my best to help, but I was also a classroom teacher. And as most classroom teachers know, there is really no time. I tried to help the best I could, but I couldn't help. And I noticed that the administration wasn't super helpful. The director herself is wonderful, but the support is kind of lacking. So I was in the midst of my master's degree, and I was doing a lot of educational leadership work. And that's when I was like, this needs to change. You know, like, this can't be that this teacher comes in August and is flailing the whole year. And then, by the way, she was let go for the following year because she wasn't meeting expectations. And the only thing that was happening was like random meetings with the director and no real guidance for her. And like, listen, there was a lot also going on at home with her, but I personally believe that she could have done really, really well had she given the support and the guidance that she needed. And that's where the business idea came from. That's where the consulting came from. That's where the coaching came from. I had already started to kind of immerse myself in the business world, knowing that I wanted to step out and do my own thing, but not knowing exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to stay within education. So I think that's where the consulting came in. And that's when I started to build, you know, a platform for myself. And it started out as a blog, really, in reality. and I think a lot of people have that story. But yeah, that's kind of where it started to, my business started to develop.
That's so interesting. I started my business writing too. Either way, it's a form of, you know, it's your voice. So yeah, whatever way you can get the, I always think of it as like, it's like a bubbling up of, oh my gosh, I have to get this out. So yeah, Sometimes the low-hanging fruit is just writing, you know, and just getting it out there somehow. It seems less vulnerable, I think, if you write. But absolutely, it's interesting how people's stories make them transition into different ways. And whatever way it starts, it still starts, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering what kind of gaps in teaching that you see now, between new teachers and veteran teachers. What are the gaps that you're noticing in the system, I think, or maybe like the support system within the schools?
So the number one thing I'm seeing is that support is basically the administrator's job to give. And I personally, having some admin experience, think that administration don't have the time to be able to do the hands-on work that they need to do for support. I think that's number one. That's the gap. Like, there is, some schools have it, some schools don't. It really depends. But a lot of the schools, especially where I am, which is in the New York metropolitan area, a lot of the schools do not have that. So the administration are expected to support their teachers, which is good and wonderful, but they can't be hands-on for teachers that are in their first year of teaching who really need hands-on support. So that's number one. I think number two is that the tools and strategies that teachers implement into the classroom are usually tools and strategies that they've learned over time, not that they've learned in the schooling that they've gotten. And I always say, like, there's so much that I didn't learn in school. I learned from doing. And some teachers, you know, especially new teachers, now with behaviors being out of whack at school, and now with like the various expectations that have been added to a teacher's workload, it's very hard for teachers to figure out how to like manage their time in a way that makes sense in teaching or get those tools that they need. And in all honesty, when they try to refer back to what they learned in school, they don't find anything because it's very heavily based on theory. So those are the two biggest things that I'm seeing, like the lack of knowledge because of schooling versus what it's like to be in the classroom, and then the lack of support because administration have that on their hands on top of everything else that they have going on to keep the school going.
Excellent information. And that kind of jumps into my next question, which is about, you mentioned in your coaching program about boundaries and work-life balance. And that's one of my key things is how do we find balance? I think balance is kind of a moving target. I don't believe that you'll ever find this perfect world of balance. So I was just wondering kind of what's your definition of work-life balance, and then how can you use boundaries in your professional or specifically in the teaching career, in a teaching career, how do you find those boundaries?
Yeah, so work-life balance, I 100% agree. You're not going to find a perfect balance. It's never going to be a 50-50 split. Sometimes work is going to take over and sometimes life is going to take over, and that's totally okay. And that's kind of where I stand also. You know, work-life balance is not going to be this perfect harmony in at home and in work. I think it's more like, okay, how do teachers, you know, do their job really freaking well, but also come home and are able to be present with the people that they love the most or go out with the people that they love the most over weekends rather than dealing with Sunday scaries, which is a big thing right now. And, you know, weekends where Sundays, instead of enjoying their time with their families or with their friends or whoever, they're worrying about school in the next week and what's to come. So that's where boundaries kind of come in. And it's like, okay, at work, how do we, number one, make the most out of your day so that you can get the most done? And that's not saying that you're going to be productive every day because it's just not plausible. And it's not saying that you're going to, you know, get everything on your to-do list done, but how do we make that more manageable for the teacher? This is actually something that I worked with on a client recently. And she was struggling, you know, she was working all those hours, then coming home and working even more hours. And she had no balance between the two. So something that we worked on, and I think part of it is not only boundaries, it's also this mindset shift, because society tells us that we have to hustle, that we have to be working constantly to be productive human beings, to be productive part of society. And that was the loop I was also in. So part of that is boundaries and not being stuck in that loop. So a boundary like I only work during contracted hours. Now, if you want to work only during contracted hours, you have to figure out how you're going to make that happen, right? Because as you probably know, because you have a family who are teachers, you've been in the preschool world, the work never ends. There's always something to do. Your to-do list is 25 miles long. And like, you're like, okay, but I have this to do. My question, the thing that I ask the teachers that come to me is, okay, which of those are urgent to-dos that need to get done today for tomorrow? And most of the time, it's only like one or two of them, right? So that's, I think, where boundaries come into place. But you also have to believe that you can be a good teacher without working all those extra hours. And that's where the mindset shift also comes in. Because what I'm noticing with a lot of teachers is they're more than happy to set those boundaries, but then they also feel like they're not good enough when they walk into the classroom because they're not doing the added hours of work, or they're not going into school on a Sunday to plan out their entire week. right? So I think it's kind of like, it's both. Boundaries can be something like, I leave work at work, or I am not doing work on weekends. But that can be really hard for teachers to let go of.
It can be very hard. Yeah. I think there's this culture of teachers that work all weekend and they put in so many hours, or they take on like a different project that's related to coaching, to teaching, because they're passionate about their career, especially for new teachers that I've seen. It seems like there's a lot of pressure for teachers to do more in their field, and they see other teachers doing the same thing. So maybe there's a lot of peer pressure in that field.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also the teachers aren't getting paid enough, so a lot of times they need to have that second job. I had a second job. I always had a second job when I was teaching. But I also learned how to kind of balance the two. And sometimes, you know, work would be more consuming than my life. So I would be working more often than not. But at the end of the day, if I didn't listen to my body, and this is something that I like that I teach teachers also, if I didn't listen to my body would never function. And what ended up like triggering my wanting to create that balance in my life is I got migraines every single week for 3 to 4 days, and they were debilitating.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was so stressed, so overworked, my body couldn't function anymore. I was going from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. I didn't stop. I never stopped. I kept working over weekends, which is not the way to go. So I was in what I call a burnout cycle. So
I've heard this story. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think a lot of teachers have the same story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a definite common thread, the physical manifestation of stress and burnout. Yeah, it's a real thing. And reshaping that and using different tools, put some new tools in your tool belt.
Exactly.
So you have a podcast, Shaping Little Minds. It's on iTunes and Spotify, and I'm sure most streaming platforms. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I launched the podcast 3 years ago. I felt like this was a great way to give teachers some implementable tools they can use inside their classrooms to help them through their day. I made the episodes short and sweet and to the point for that reason. I always, have, when it's just me, it's 10 to 15 minutes. When it's guests, it's like 25 to 30 minutes. It's really not long at all. And it gives them implementable tools they can just use and bring into their classroom at any time. So that was kind of where I came up with the podcast itself. Also, I saw a lot of people having podcasts in the education space, and I was like, there isn't a lot going on specifically for early childhood educators. But I felt like I also wanted to give them the resources that they needed to be able to like learn more and like ask more questions. So I felt like my podcast could be that resource.
Nice. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
And you also have a learning program for teachers, a support program, coaching program. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. Up until now, it was only a 12-week program. I recently launched another tier, which is a 6-month program. So I don't even know how many weeks that is. 24 weeks. There we go. So it is very individualized to teachers, to the individual teachers. I don't ever like create anything for the teachers for those calls that we have. Basically, it's 12 weeks or 6 months. You have weekly calls with me one-on-one. They are all recorded. You can get them, download them, have them on your computer at any time. And then you also have a client portal, which is full of lots of PDF resources, videos, audio files, etc., that you can just go and download if you want. You can go through it if you want. You can do whatever you want with that. And you have access to that even after our coaching is done. So anytime there's an update, they get it. And then there's also messaging access, which is through text messaging platform on your phone, on your computer, whatever. And they can literally text me, voice note me at any time and ask for any kind of support. The 6 month tier is a little bit different. It's obviously a longer period of time. So we have a lot more time to work and to really get your, you know, your classroom and your teaching transformed. And the goal for me in this program is to help teachers who are feeling overworked, overstressed, feeling like their classroom is not manageable, to getting their classroom under control and therefore also creating a life that they want to create outside of the classroom. So that is really my biggest goal. So when I work with teachers, the first thing that we work on is managing the classroom and being able to feel like your classroom is under control and you have things under control at work. And then once those things are in place, then we start working on, you know, creating those boundaries between work and life and creating space for a life that they want. The only difference in the 6 month program is that you have 3 coaching calls a month instead of 4. And the week in between you get is what I call an implementation period. So you get to take everything that you learned in the 3 weeks that we were working together and implement them into your classroom. You still have they still have the voice note and text message access, so they can ask any questions. They can get support through that app, and that's kind of a chance for them to do the work without feeling like they have to be on a call and have to have everything all together within a week of doing everything. So that really is the biggest difference between the 3 month and the 6 month. And we have a decent track record. Most of the teachers who have gone through the program have seen success, have felt more calm when walking into the classroom, have been able to create that life that they want to create. So if I do say so myself, it's a pretty great program.
That sounds amazing. And so your company is called Educators Consult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then what software are you using for, I think I saw Kajabi.
Yeah.
For your,
okay.
Yeah. That's such a great platform.
Yeah. I love it.
What do you use for your messaging?
Boxer.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure some teachers are probably very familiar with a lot of that anyway. Do you use Zoom for your calls, or is that built into the platform?
Yeah. So I use Zoom for the calls and I record them. I put them into a folder on Google Drive. They stay there throughout our time together. And then I tell my clients always to download the videos and everything that's there so that I can make room for new clients as well.
Right.
Yeah, it's always there for them during our time together, and they can download it whenever.
Sounds super easy.
Yeah.
I sometimes pull an Instagram post from my guests for a question. And so I just want to mention you do have an Instagram page for your business. And one of your posts said, it was really cute. It was putting out fires all day because of behavior in your classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me remember, you know, a family member that I have that's a teacher. And I just thought that was really interesting. I've heard stories. So a lot of my family are teachers. My mother is a retired teacher. My grandmother was a teacher. You know, I have an aunt, you know, like I just kind of come from a family of teachers. And so I thought that was really interesting about putting out fires. I think this career, more than a lot of careers, deals with that on a daily basis. So I was just wondering what your thought was behind that post and what kind of a message do you want to send to teachers?
So the thought behind that post was, okay, there are behaviors in your classroom that you're putting out fires all day. Let's take those behaviors and try to figure out how to manage them and respond to them rather than react. I always talk about responding versus reacting when it comes to being in a classroom. It's also, you know, now, right, during the last few years since COVID, since the pandemic, behaviors have gotten worse. And teachers are seeing that behaviors are just getting worse. And a lot of teachers are leaving because of those behaviors, because they're so bad. And something I was actually thinking about last week was how some behaviors trigger us as adults. So we see certain behaviors and they trigger a response. And sometimes we don't actually need to necessarily respond. So I posted that with the hope that teachers will not only relate to it, but also maybe be like desire to find another way. Because it doesn't always have to be this reaction to behaviors all the time. And I've been there as a teacher. I used to do that too. You know, I'm not saying I don't do this. And sometimes you know, so many things are going on in the classroom that you do end up reacting rather than responding. But I feel like sometimes, and especially with new teachers, they don't know how to navigate those behaviors. Like there are behaviors that come up and they're like, how am I supposed to do this? So that post was really to like highlight the fact that I see you, I hear you. And, you know, there are other ways to help and to create more of a classroom community rather than you putting out fires all the time.
Well said. Yeah. So you mentioned that you're in the New York metro area. Obviously, you do all of your programs online, so you're available to anyone. But do you do any in real life things in the New York metro area, or is it mostly just online?
It is mostly online. I had a client who was local, so we met a few times in person. So that was really fun. Like I got to go to Starbucks and do a real life, you know, event with her. But mostly it's been virtual. A lot of my clients are not from the area or don't live as close. I mean, I had a client like out in Arizona. So mostly virtual, but I do offer professional development locally. So if a school is looking for a certain subject to be talked about and learned, you know, they want their teachers to learn about, I am happy to travel to those things local. But yeah, mostly virtual.
That's nice that you can support local school districts if they reach out to you. So that's such a great resource.
I think
some schools are always searching for training workshops or whatever. So that's really helpful. Yeah.
Yeah.
So can you just give us, you know, tell us about your links, where they can find you? Your link. I see that you have a link tree also. So tell us about all that. Yeah.
The best place to find me is Instagram. That's where I spend the majority of my time. Instagram is at Coach for Teachers. There's a lot of good information on my on my Instagram. So if you want to like just scroll through, see what you can find, go for it. You can also find me on LinkedIn. It's under my full name. I will send you the link to that. And those are like the two biggest places. I'm not really on Facebook much. I don't really have anything going on there. And I do have a link tree. The link tree is attached both to my LinkedIn and to my Instagram as well.
I also want to mention that the link to your Kajabi training program is on your link tree, right?
Yes.
With your calendar. I think you've got your calendar booking is on there, right? Also.
Yeah. So I have two options right now. It's the 3 or 6 month program, one-on-one coaching. And then I also have a one-off coaching call. It's a 90-minute coaching call, and that one goes straight to the calendar. You can literally just book it, pay for it, and have it in the calendar. And I always show up, and you'll have an intake form just so that I can kind of get to know you. But yeah, those are the two options right now. I am also coming out with a course soon, so stay tuned for that as well.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And that one-off is a great way for someone to just get to know you a little bit, meet you, maybe ask a few questions, see what you're all about.
Yeah, exactly.
Test the waters before jumping headfirst into a big 6 month commitment program. Yeah,
for sure. For sure. And it's also, you know, on the cheaper end. So, you know, you can do that and say, okay, I really enjoyed that. Maybe I will do the coaching program. Or you can do that and say, okay, that was enough for me. I'm good. You know, either way, it's totally fine.
That's the thing with coaching. You have to meet people where they're at. And sometimes they just are not ready. And maybe they just want to talk to someone for 20 minutes. And sometimes that's enough. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Exactly. Totally okay. Yeah. And they may come back.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing. We're always here.
I mean, that's how one of my clients came into my program in the first place. She was like, okay, I'm doing a 60-minute. At the time, it was 60 minutes. I was offering for like a big Black Friday deal. And she came in for a 60-minute call. And she, at the end of the call, goes, is this how one-on-one coaching is? I go, yes, but for 3 months. And she was like, okay, I'm in. Like, done. So, you know, she just needed to figure out what I would offer for her. And from there, was able to make a decision.
Most people just, they don't really know what it is. They think that you're going to tell them what to do. And that's not how it works.
No, we listen.
We're the ear that you wish you had all the time. And we just pretty much reflect everything back to you so you can hear your own words. That's what coaching is.
Yeah.
And we don't give you advice. But sometimes people don't have those resources to talk to anyone, or they try to talk to their best friend, and their best friends tell them what to do, that's not good. You don't want that. You're living your own life. You're in your own boat. Drive your own boat.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So I gave some pointers and some tips and throughout the call, and she just looked at me and she was like, okay, I want into the program, because if this is it, I can only imagine what's going to happen in 3 months. So
yeah, it can be really transformative for people. When I coach people, after about an hour, they say, whoa, how did you do that? I'm like, I didn't do it. You did it. I just told you what you were saying.
Yep.
It's pretty cool. Exactly. It's so fun.
It's amazing. It's amazing to see. Like, it's amazing to see those transformations.
Mm-hmm.
And my client at the end of it was like, wait, are you leaving me already? And I was like, I mean, I don't have to.
That's so awesome. I always call mine coffee chats, because that's really all they are. Let's just have coffee online, on Zoom. It's great.
Exactly. I love it. I love it.
Coffee chats. Well, I want to thank you so much for sharing your time with us and our listeners, and telling us about your awesome programs and getting to know you a little bit and about your background. And it's been really interesting, and I love having these chats, and I hope our listeners enjoyed this conversation, this coffee chat. I know I sure did.
Yeah, I did too. Thank you so much for having me. I love talking about education and teaching. It's my passion.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Hey, thanks for listening today to another great episode. I sure enjoy hearing about these experiences, and I hope you do also.
Be sure and like or follow this show by leaving a 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. If you have an experience or story you'd like to share, be sure and reach out to verbalecho@gmail.com. See you in the next episode, friends. Have a great week.